Okay, today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Nun Gimel. Today's shir is once again sponsored by Avishai and Elisha ben Numan, Lizchusur for Shalema, for Chaim Naftali ben Frimit Freida, as well as for Sarah Freida bas Chaya. They should both have for Shalema besoch Shar Chola Yisrael. We are holding at the Mishnah on the bottom of daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah is going to tell us how they used to do chenek, what the procedure was for chenek. It's the last of the Dalet Misos, the only one that we haven't yet described. And the Gemara is going to say chenek is a unique one of the Dalet Misos because that's the Stam Misa. Whenever the Torah says someone is chayv Misa and doesn't specify, so it's chenek. And the Gemara is going to figure out how we know that, how we know that chenek is the standard when we don't know any better. Then the Gemara is going to say, going to discuss how we know that the chiyuv skila applies by those that it doesn't say skila explicitly in the Torah, meaning there's some sort of limud that we learn it out from Ovidoni. So we're going to have three different suggestions why we can't learn it from the words mos yumas, yumasu. We're going to learn it from other words by Ovidoni, but we're going to learn a chiyuv skila even by certain things that it doesn't say a chiyuv skila straight out in the Torah. The Gemara is going to discuss which words we learn it from. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph is going to talk about 18 different averos for which a person is chayiv skila, and it's going to identify three averos for which there are multiple isurim. Meaning three of the list is not only one avera, it's a double avera. The Gemara is going to have two versions of the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, whether Rabbi Yehuda always holds that there's no chiyuv aveshas ish when one is ba'al imo, that it's only a violation of ba'al imo but not a violation of aveshas ish, or it's only in specific cases, like when his mother is asr to his father, then it's only ba'al imo and not aveshas ish. So two versions of Rabbi Yehuda, and in the context of the discussion of the two versions of Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara thought to suggest that maybe Rabbi Yehuda is like Rabbi Akiva, that there's no tfisas kiddushin by chayav elavin, but the Gemara is going to prove that that's not the case. Rabbi Yehuda does not hold like Rabbi Akiva, that there's no tfisas kiddushin by chayav elavin, and then the Gemara is going to have two different explanations of why Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that there is no chiyav eshes aviv on your mother, meaning if you say like the version of Rabbi Yehuda that appears in our Mishnah, there's never a chiyuv of eshes aviv, there's never a chiyuv of eshes ish on one's own mother. Why would that be the case? Why wouldn't there be a chiyuv on one's own mother? So let's begin with the Mishnah on Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis. Mitzvah Sanachnakin. Here's how they would do chenek. They would put him knee deep in manure. And once again, they would take a coarse type of rope, a strong rope, and wrap it in something softer that's easier on the neck, v'korei chal tzavaro, and they would wrap it around his neck, zemo shechetzlo, v'zemo shechetzlo, and you'd have two people, the two edim on either side, each one pulling, ad shenafsha yotzeis, until they kill him in that way. This is obviously different than Sreifa, in that by Sreifa they can't pull that hard. They're only allowed to pull hard enough to get his mouth open so that they could pour the hot lead down his mouth. But over here, they have to pull hard. They have to pull hard enough that they're able to kill him with this with chenek. There is a discussion in the Rishonim why we would put him knee deep in manure. The Adramas says because we're afraid that he's going to soil himself and that's going to ruin the whole process, and we're going to have to clean him up and start over again. So we sort of soil him in advance so that he won't soil himself. The Shittas Rashi, the Lecha Mishnah at least explains the Shittas Rashi is that once we do it by the Nisrafin, we do it by the Nechnakin as well. And the reason we do it by the Nisrafin is we don't want him to be able to move. If he moves, it's going to take longer, and we want to make it as quick and painless as possible. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabban, we have a Braisa. Ish Prat Lekatan. Now, the Braisa is going to darshan every word of the Pasuk, even though our primary interest, I mean, this is a Pasuk about an adulterer. So the primary interest is really about the idea that a Stam Misa that it says in the Torah is Chenek. But we're going to darshan each word in the Pasuk till we get to that part, till we get to the part of the Pasuk that tells us Mos Yumas, and we say, oh, death, that just means Chenek, and doesn't mean any of the other possible deaths. So Tanu Rabbanan, Ish Prat Lekatan. When it says Ish, it means that who's going to be Chayiv Misa for being an adulterer? Only a Katan. Only an adult, not a Katan, excluding a Katan. Asher Yinaf as Eishas Ish, and who sleeps with a married woman, Prat Le'ishas Katan, excluding someone who sleeps with the wife of a Katan. Sleep with the wife of a Katan, he's not Chayiv Misa. Eishes Re'ehu, and then it says Eishes Re'ehu, Prat Le'eishes Acherim. That excludes the wife of a guy, the wife of people who are not Re'ehu, who are not part of the Jewish people. Mos Yumas, and then the Torah says, so what's the penalty for that, for sleeping with an Eishes Ish? So Bechenek, it must mean that that's Bechenek. So says Gemara, it says the Braisa, Atomer Bechenek, Oyin Vela Ba'achas Mikal Misa Samurus B'Torah. How do you know that it's Chenek? Maybe it's Skila, Sreifa, Hereg. There are three other options. Who told you it's Chenek? It just says Mos Yumas. Samur Kalmakam Shemra Misa B'Torah Stam, Eina Tarashi Lemosha Lahachmir La Elu Lahakala, Divra Biyoshia. Whenever the Torah says the word Misa, Stam, we always assume the most lenient. So we don't have the right to assume anything stricter than the most lenient Misa, and the most lenient Misa is Chenek. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, lo mipnei shehi kala. No, the reason that Chenek is the default is not on account of its leniency. Ela kol Misa, amur b'Torah stam, eina ela Chenek. No, it's a rule that whenever the Torah says Misa, it's Chenek, but it has nothing to do with its leniency. It's a separate rule that it's always Chenek. Rabbi Omer, nemar Misa b'dei shemayim, nemar Misa b'dei adam. He says, how do I know that it's Chenek? Because there's such a notion of Misa b'dei shemayim and there's such a notion of Misa b'dei adam. So ma Misa amur b'dei shemayim, Misa shein baroshem. Just like by Misa b'dei shemayim, it's a Misa that doesn't leave any mark on the body, meaning a person dies Misa b'dei shemayim, he has a heart attack, an aneurysm, whatever, he gets sick and he dies, there's no physical mark on the body. Af Misa amur b'dei adam, Misa shein baroshem. So too Misa b'dei adam should be a Misa, the stam Misa b'dei adam should be a Misa that doesn't leave a physical mark. Chenek is the only one that doesn't leave a physical mark. Says Gemara, no, it's not. Ve'ima Sreifa. Sreifa also doesn't leave a physical mark. How do you know that it's Chenek? Maybe it's Sreifa. So says Gemara, it can't be Sreifa. Because Midam Rachmana Bas Kohen B'Sreifa, Mechlal Daha Lav B'Sreifa Hi. The fact that it says that Bas Kohen is different than a regular Eishes Ish, that a Bas Kohen is Chayiv Sreifa, the implication is that a regular Eishes Ish is not Chayiv Sreifa. Mos Yumas must be some other Misa. So there's got to be another Misa that's Ein Baroshem. The only other Misa that's Ein Baroshem besides for Sreifa is Chenek, and that's how we know that the Chiyuv is Chenek. So says the Gemara. Actually, before we go further in the Gemara, we had a drush over here before we got to the Chenek element of it. We darsh in the first part of the Pasuk. Ish prat the katan. Who's chayiv for sleeping with an Eishes Ish? Not a katan. Only an adult is chayiv for sleeping with an Eishes Ish. So all the Rishonim are bothered by the obvious kasha. A katan's not chayiv for anything. He's lav bar onshin, he's lav bar mitzvah, so he's not chayiv for anything. Why do you need to tell me that a katan is not chayiv for sleeping with an Eishes Ish? Tosfos Maseches Kiddushin Daf Yutes suggests that the chiddush is that one might have thought that since the woman that the katan is sleeping with is chayiv as an Eishes Ish, so he's an equal partner in that act, and therefore mimele he's going to be killed as well together with the woman. So kamash v'lan that he's not killed. Why would you think such a thing, that just because she's chayiv, he's chayiv? Because we do have such a halacha when it comes to roveya and a nirva of a behema, that we kill the behema. Behema is not a bar onshin, it's not an onesh for the behema, and yet nevertheless we do see that we kill that behema who was part of that act. So you might have thought that the same applies to a katan. That's what Tosfos writes in Maseches Kiddushin. However, the Yireim and the Smag suggest that the chiddush is talking about dafka a katan who is less than 9 years old, and the chiddush is not that the katan is pat from Misa. That's a davar pashut, that the katan, when we say ish prat le katan, we're saying that the woman is only going to be chayiv if she slept with someone who's not a katan. If she slept with the katan, she's going to be pater. And katan in this context means under the age of 9, who's not a bar bia. But if the woman slept with a katan who's over the age of 9, then in a chnami, she's chayiv, and obviously he's not. That we don't need a drasha to tell me that he's not. He's not a bar mitzvah yet. So whereas Tosfos understands prat l'katan means prat l'katan who's between the age of 9 and 13, and the woman is chayiv, and the chiddush is that the boy between 9 and 13 is not chayiv, and Tosfos has to explain why that's a chiddush. Shouldn't it be obvious? The Yireim and the Smag understand that when we say prat l'katan, we mean prat for a child under the age of 9. And the chiddush is that the woman doesn't get killed if the child is under the age of 9. But that the child doesn't get killed, that's obvious. They doesn't get killed under the age of 9, over the age of 9, until he's a bar mitzvah, that would be obvious. The Rashba writes in the name of the Ravid that had we not had a miut of ish, prat the katan, we would have thought that you should be mechayev the katan because he gets hana'a from the iser. Meaning normally we assume a katan is a lav bardas. So there is a notion that hana'a can sometimes replace kavana. That that if a person gets hana'a, misasik b'chalav b'arayus chayev shekeinen. That a person gets hana'a, it's ki'ilu that they did a purposeful act. So one might have thought that hana'a could replace das as well. That when there's a sense of hana'a, even if there's no das, that there's going to be a chiyuv mishum, the hana'a. That's how the Rashba quotes from the Rav. That's why we need to be told, ish, prat l'katan, that even though there's hana'a, the question then becomes, what about every other avera where there's hana'a, and there's no such drasha to exclude a katan? Eat nevelis and trefis, eat basa mechalav. There's also hana'a, and no one has a havamina that a katan is going to be chayiv for those things. We don't need a drasha for those things. That's a difficulty with the Riven, unless you say that you learn it from here, ish prad l'katan. Now we see from here, and it's melami tekala terukula, that even when a katan gets hana'a, he's not going to be chayiv. The Tos Rabbeinu Peretz suggests that the chiddush over here is that one might have thought that since in the end of the Parsha Sarayos it says v'nichrasu hanefashos ha'osos mikerav. So it makes it sound like any living thing is included in this parsha, whether it be an adult or a child. Meaning, whereas the rest of Torah is a chiyuv on b'nei mitzvah, but maybe we would have thought that there's a gzeiros hakasav that it's hanefashos ha'osos, that as long as it's a living being, afilu katan, they'd be included. That's why I need ish prat l'katan. And then the next drasha we had was that asher yinafes eishes ish. Prat la'eshas katan, excluding an eshas katan. What in the world is an eshas katan? Katan can't get married. There's no kiddushin by a katan. So Rashi says that the ptur is because there's no is exactly because of that. Because there's no kiddushin for a katan, so she'll never be an eshas ish. So meaning that's exactly what the Torah is teaching me over here. The reason you're not chayv mishum eshas katan is because there's no such thing as an eshas katan. However, in kiddushin daf yutes, where the same drasha is brought for different reasons. It's brought over there. It's not brought for nechnak, and it's brought for the purpose of these drashos. So Rashi writes that the chiddush of this drasha is that even if the katan was a yavam and he's 9 years old, so he's able to have bia. So the woman was a yavama that he was responsible for yibum and he was boel her b'toras yibum. So even though minat Torah the kiddushin is a valid kiddushin, he's kona her, and therefore he would yarshin her on a daraisa level, but still she's not considered a full Eishas Ish, and you put them in a misa for if someone were to sleep with her. So that's how Rashi explains the Maseches Kiddushin that the Chiddush is, which is an unbelievable Chiddush in its own right, that Rashi assumes the Maseches Kiddushin that a 9-year-old who does Yibum, the Yibum is effective on a Daraisa level, and she's in fact an Eishas Ish, but not so much an Eishas Ish that a person is going to be Chayiv Misa for sleeping with her. Tosfos over there disagrees with Rashi. He says, no, Minat Torah, a Katan cannot create any sense of marriage. Midrabanan, the yibum that a 9-year-old does will aser her on the other brothers, but she's not considered ishto, not for Yerusha, not for anything else, certainly not for Misa either, and we don't even need a drasha from the Pasuk to exclude her from Yerusha for Misa. And then we said, moving on to the next drasha that we said, Eishas Re'ehu, Prat le'eshes acherim. When is one chayiv for sleeping with an eshes ish? If she's eshes re'ehu, but not if she's the wife of a guy. Is there such a thing? Is there such a thing as ishus for a guy, kiddushin for a guy? So Tosus writes in Dibur HaMaskel of your prat le'eshes acherim. V'hainu, Tosus says, kuti v'kamash mlon de'ein ishul sukutim avagav de'ein misa v'asari surah mi'yika mi'di'itzrich l'rishri fastar dashim perakam t'kedushin eshes afilu eshes ish. Tosel says there is no ishus to a guy, but there's still an iser of probably the isers of devak b'ishto v'lo be'eshes chavero, which already appears in Parshas Bereishis. So we see from there that Tosel brings the pasuk by yifas tovar. What does it mean? You see, you have eshes yifas tovar, and the Gemara Kedushin darshins, even if she's an Eishes Ish. What do you mean she's an Eishes Ish? She's not Jewish. So you see from the fact that the Torah has to be Matir, an Eishes Goy in the time of war, if there must be that there's an Isser of Eishes Ish, even when it comes to an Eishes Goy. So that's the Chiddush of Tosos, that there is some notion of Ishus, even when it comes to a Goy, and that's the notion of V'davak B'Ishto V'lo B'Eishes Chaveru. So we said, is there Ishus by a Goy? The answer is yes. Is there Kiddushin by a Goy? No, not Kiddushin, but a sense of Ishus. What defines Ishus then? There's no Maisa Kiddushin, it's not Kesef Shtarubia. So what is it? So whatever the society deems as Ishus, so there's Ishus. Obviously it has to be a man and a woman, otherwise there's no sense of Ishus. But whatever within that, whatever society defines as a legal marriage, would then be considered V'davak B'Ishto V'lo B'Eishes Chavero. So says the Gemara now on the top. Bish lama the Rabbi Yonah's son, kidukam afarish Rabbi Taima. I understand very well why Rabbi Yonah's son says that stam misa is bechenek, because Rabbi explains that we learn it out from misa bidei shemayim. That just like misa bidei shemayim is something that doesn't leave a rosham, so the misa bidei adam, that stam misa bidei adam is also something that doesn't leave a mark. El Rabbi Yoshia, mimaydi ika chenek ba'olam, hey masayif. I mean, Rabbi Yoshia was just a svara. How do I know that you give chenek when you don't know what to give? Because it's the most lenient of the misos. Yeah, but who ever told you that there is such a miso called chenek? Maybe the only three misos are skila, sreifa, and hereg, and therefore the most lenient one is hereg, and that's what you should give whenever it says stam. You should just give hereg. Who told you that there's such a thing called chenek? So Amarava, arba misos, gemara gemiri lehu. That we have a tradition that there is such a thing as dalad misos based in. That it's gemara gemiri lehu, that there are four, and therefore we know that there must be chenek as well. My lo mipnei shehi kala. What does he mean when he says that? What does Rabbi Yonason mean when he says no? The reason we give chenek is not because it is the most kala, not because it is the most lenient. What's the problem with that? What's the problem with saying that the reason we give chenek is that it's the most lenient? Kamifli biplukta to Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan, because this machlokas, Rabbi Yonas and Rabbi Yoshia, is they're arguing in the machlokas, Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan, whether in fact chenek is the most lenient. That was a machlokas. Rabbi Shimon held no. Rabbi Shimon held that hereg is the most lenient. So that's why. That's why he says lo mipnei shehi kala, that it's not based on the fact that it's the most kal of the misos. Now the Rambam writes in the third parak of Hilchos Melachim that anyone who's moreid b'melech Yisrael yesh rishus lemelech lahargo. The melech Yisrael has permission to kill anyone who's moreid b'malchus, and even if he just makes a gezeira on someone that he has to that he has to go to a certain place, and the guy doesn't listen to him, as soon as he leaves his house or as soon as he doesn't listen, he's chayv mitza, and the Melech is allowed to kill him, and similarly, anyone who's mevaza a melech, mecharif a melech, he has permission to kill him. Kishimi ben Gera, and then says the Rambam, ve'ein lemelech rishus laharog ela b'sayif bilvad. That the melech is only allowed to kill with sayif. That's it. Only with hereg. So that is difficult to understand. There's no Gemara that says that explicitly. That when a melech kills, it has to be dafka with sayif. Where in the world does the Rambam get that notion? So there are achronim that try to find toseftas and other sources that seem to suggest that it's with cherev. The tosefta says that the rashus, that the governing authority, has the right to kill with hereg. But other achronim point out that's talking about non-Jewish government authority. It's not talking about a Jewish government. Meichi tesi that a melech Yisrael is also limited to only kill with hereg. So in the Sefer Ovel Moed, quoted here in the Panine Alecha section of the Masifta, he suggests that the source of the Rambam is our Gemara, because the Gemara says that had it not been for Gemara Gemirila, that there are Dalad Misos, we automatically would have assumed that from the Torah itself, we automatically would have assumed three Misos. Had it not been for some other tradition that there is a fourth Misa, we would have automatically assumed that there are only three Misos, and the Kal Shebekulan is Sayef. So since the din of the melech to kill is not mikoach arba misos of the Torah, it's more like a hara'a sha'a, so the din goes back to what the halacha would have been had it not been for this gemara gemirila. And therefore it would be sayif, which would be the misa kala. I don't know why that would be the case. Why would the din go back to what it was had we not? We do have gemara gemirila. We do know that there are four misos, but that's the best you can come up with. That maybe the source of the idea of the Rambam, that it can only be hareg, is lule, the gemara gemirila. Gerila, Hereg would have been the most kal, and therefore that's what the Melech is given license to do. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Amalei Rabbi Zerila Abaye, Shar Niskal the Loksev Buskila, the Gamri Me Oviu Doni, B'mai Gamri. Meaning we know that there are certain misos in the Torah. We're about to list in the Mishnah later on in the staff. We're going to have a Mishnah that lists 18 things that you chayv skila for. Many of those things it says it beferish in the pasuk that you chayv skila, but others it doesn't say beferish in the pasuk, and we have to learn it out from ov v'yadoni, that someone who's an ov v'yadoni is chayv skila. So we learn from words in the pasuk about ov v'yadoni that these others are chayv skila as well. So Rabbi Zera is just asking a very simple question: which words in the pasuk about ov v'yadoni are going to be melamed about the other chayv skila that they are in fact chayv skila? V'mos yumsu gamri or b'dmeim bam gamri? Is it from the words mosi masu, or is it from the words demehem bum? Samalei b'demehem demehem bum gamri. It has to be from demehem bum that we learn it out. Di b'mos yumsu gamri, demehem demehem lamali. Because if we were learning out from mosi masu, then demehem bum would be extra. Elamai b'demehem demehem gamri, mos yumsu lamali. Well, okay, but then you could just flip around that question. If you're going to learn it out from demehem bum, what do you do with the extra words mosi masu? So kiddetanya, here's what we do with the extra words mosi masu. Mosi mas hamake rotseachu. Ein li'el b'misak suvabo. I would only know that you can kill a murderer with the misa that the Torah prescribes for him. How do I know that if you're unable to kill him with the actual misa that the Torah prescribes for him, that you can kill him however is going to work? That's why it says mos yumas hamaka, which sounds like mikol makom, that however you get it done, just get it done. Make sure that this person gets his misa. So that's what we would learn from mos yumasu, and therefore demeyam bam is what we use to teach the chiyuv skila by other misos. Now the Gemara seems clear that wherever it says mosi mas, we learn that if you're not able to kill with the misa ksuvabo, so you're able to kill with another misa. Binyan Shlomo points out it sounds from here like Shita Satosos. Tosos holds in Daf Mem Hayam and Beis that when are you allowed to kill Bekol Misa, whichever Misa you're able to get him with, if you can't kill him with the prescribed Misa, that's only when the Torah actually says Mos Yumasu. But where the Torah doesn't say Mos Yumas, then there's no Chiddush Hakra that you're allowed to do that. Meaning only in those Misos where the Torah actually uses that phrase, Mos Yumas, that double expression, only then do we say, okay, Kol Misa, whatever Misa you can get him with, you're allowed to do. That's Shita Satosos. The Rambam disagrees with that. The Rambam in the 14th paragraph of Hilchos Sanhedrin says, nah, this is a din by all misos based din. If you're able to kill him with the prescribed misos based din, great. If you're not able to kill him with the prescribed misos based din, so then call miso, then kill him with whatever other miso, not only when it says mos yumas. It's going to be difficult, though, how the Rambam is going to read our Gemara. The our Gemara sounds like it's only from the words mos yumas. Meaning, the way the Gemara started the question, the way Rabbi Zera formulated the question, Rabbi Zera started, you know, with a challenge to Abaye. The idea that there's a chi of skila by those places where it doesn't say it beferish, is it from Mos Yumas or is it from Demei Ambam? Okay, so ultimately we said it's from Demei Ambam, but it sounded like Rabbi Zera was prepared with a question, that if you were going to respond that it's from Mos Yumas, he was going to say that you've got a problem. What was his problem? What was the issue? Why couldn't it be from Mos Yumasu? So says Mar Ile me Eishes Ishka Kashalei. If you're going to say that, maybe his problem was how to deal with Eishes Ish. Lemesi v'lemigmar Mos Yumas me Avi Yadoni. That we should say that we should learn the Isser Eishes Ish from Mos Yumas from Avi Yadoni. Malalan Beskila Afkan Beskila. So that's what he was bothered by. Why are we mechayv Eishes Ish is only bechenek and not Beskila? So the Gemara says that couldn't have been what bothered him, because midam rachman arusa beskila machlal dinasua lav beskila, because the Torah already said that an arusa gets skila, which implies that a regular eishes ish does not get skila. So he could not have been bothered that if we're going to learn skila from mos yumas, then an eishes ish should get skila as well. Now it's beferish in the Torah that only an arusa gets skila, nar marasa is chiv skila, not other eishes ish. So what was really bothering him? The lemaka of v'imo kakashalei lemesiv lemigmar me'ovi yadon. Yadoni. Why is it that Makavi Vimo isn't Chayev Skila? After all, we should learn from Ovi Yadoni. Ad Gamri Ovi Yadoni, Ligum Rameshus Ish. So says Gemara, no, because why would you learn from Ovi Yadoni? Instead of learning from Ovi Yadoni, why don't you learn from Meshus Ish? Diatarash Ela Hachmir Aleha, Ela Hakel Aleha. Because in general, if you have two possibilities of where to learn something from, you always go to the more kal, you always go to the more lenient punishment. So I'm going to learn that Makav Vimo is Chayiv Misa. I know it's Chayiv Misa. Which Misa? Is it Chenek like an Eshes Ish? Or is it Skila like Ovi Yadoni? Okay, say it's like an Eshes Ish. You go to the more kal one. So that could not have been what was bothering Rabbi Zeira, that if we're going to learn from Mosi Masu, then the Makav Vimo should also be Chayiv Skila. No, he would have realized on his own that that wouldn't be the logical conclusion, that the Makav Vimo is Chayiv Skila. So what was really bothering Rabbi Zeira? He was bothered by why any Misa can be derived from Ovi Yadoni. Meaning, once we have the model of Eshes Ish to learn from, why would you learn any other Chayiv Misa from Ovi Yadoni and say that they're Chayiv Skila? Learn it from Eshes Ish and say that they're Chayiv a lesser punishment. If you learn from Mosi Mas, learn from Eshes Ish, because you should be more and more Mekel and not more machmir. So that's the that's what was bothering Rabbi Zeira, and that's why it was good that we said that the real limud from Ovi Yadoni is from Dmei and Bam and not from Mosi Masu, and therefore we can't have these other we can't say instead of learning from Ovi Yadoni, why don't we learn from Eishes Ish? The Sanhedrin Ketana already raises the question that when you're able to be makish l'chumra l'kula, so l'chumra makshin v'lo l'kula, meaning the Gemara's assumption that i'atarash l'hachmir aleha, that if the limud could go in two directions, it can go to Eishes Ish and teach a more kal misa, or it could go to Ovi Yadoni and teach a more chumra misa, the Gemara works with the assumption of course we would have gone with the more kal misa. Is that really true? When you have a hekish, we're always makish l'chumra and not l'kula. So why does the Gemara assume that we would have naturally gone l'kula? So says Sanhedrin Ketana that maybe that's a rule only when it comes to hekish. Maybe that rule doesn't apply when it comes to gzera shava. Maybe by gzera shava we would dafka go l'kula and not go l'chumra. Sanhedrin Ketana also raises the question: wait, gzera shava? We're suggesting gzera shavas to be made. Ein adam dan gzera shava ma'atzmelam kin kibla me'rabo. You can't suggest the gzera shava. Gzera shava is either something that you have or you don't have. It's either a mesorah that you have or something that you don't have. So he suggests, and all the achronim say something along these lines, that the idea that ein adam dan gzera shava me'atzmo is not absolute. It means that you can't make it up out of thin air. But very often the traditions of the gzera shavas were that there's a gzera shava somewhere in the parsha of Ovi Yadoni. Now go figure out what it is. So there was leeway to figure out what that gzera shava was, or that this particular misa is derived from a gzera shava. Now go figure out from where to where, meaning the traditions of what the gzera shavas were not abundantly clear and precise in exactly what the nature of that gzera shava was. And that's why there's room for the Gemara to have such a discussion. Okay, new Mishnah. Eluein on the skull and the following people are chayiv skila. The following 18 averos: Habala aim, someone sleeps with his mother; Valish saav, his father's wife; Valakala, his daughter-in-law; Vala zachar, a male; Valabahema, an animal; Vaisha mavia sabahema, a woman who brings an animal on her; Vamegadef, someone who's megadef, who's a blasphemous of Shem Hashem; Vaovir avodas kachavim, someone who's ovir avodas zara; Vanosim zara lemolech, he gives his child over for the avodas zara of molech; Ubal ov viyadoni, we'll discuss in the Gemara what those are. Exactly what the difference is between the two, but some sort of fortune teller, v'amechalal as Hashabbos, v'amechalal of v'imo, someone who curses his father, mother and father, v'abal nara amurasa, someone who's boal and nara amurasa, v'amesis, v'amediach, someone who causes one person to do avodah zara, or someone who causes a whole city to do avodah zara, v'amechashiv, someone who practices kishuf, uben sora umora, and a ben sora umora. So those are the 18. Now, habal aim, when one sleeps with his own mother, it's a double iser. Chayiv ala mishum aim u mishum eshes av. It's both the chayiv of aim and eshes av. Rabbi Yehuda Amarenu Chayev El Mishum Ha'em Belvad. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, when it's Baal Al Imo, it's only aim. There's no Chiyuv of Eshazav. And therefore, if he does it B'shogeg, it's one Karban Chatos, it's not two Karbanos Chatos. Ha'Baal Eshazav, Chayev Mishum Eshazav, U'Mishum Eshazish. Now, when one is Baal Eshazav, it's also two Yisurim. It's both Eshazav, and she's a married woman. She happens to be married to his father, so it's Eshazish as well. Bein b'chaye yaviv, bein la'achar misas aviv. Both when the father's alive and after the father is dead. Now, what does that mean? That's not true. She's not an eshes ish after the father is dead. So you have to say is that the eshes av iser is still there, even la'achar misas aviv, but the eshes ish iser is no longer there. Bein min erisin, bein min nisun. And this applies whether she has only erisin or even has nisun with the father. Haba al kalaso, a third example where there's a multiple iser, someone who sleeps with his daughter-in-law, chayev ala mishum kalaso, umishum eshes ish. Chayev because it's his daughter-in-law, and also because she's a married woman. Again, bein b'chayev b'no, bein la'achar misas b'no, whether the son is alive or whether the son is dead, bein min erisin, bein min anisuin. Now again, that whether the son is alive or whether the son is dead, the Ad Ramah points out, pashtus is, that means the iser of kalaso, the iser of eshes ish, obviously is not going to apply when the son is dead. Only the iser of kalaso is going to apply when the son is dead. However, the Ran suggests that what we're actually trying to say is that both isurim apply when the son is dead. What? How can both isurim possibly apply when the son is dead? She's not an eshes ish. Says the Ran, she got remarried. Okay, then what's the chiddush? Of course she's an eshes ish. She got remarried to somebody else, so she's somebody else's eshes ish. Now, you might have thought that once she got remarried, she's no longer kalaso, that she's no longer his daughter-in-law, that relationship is broken. So that's kamash malon. The Mishnah, no, that's a permanent relationship, that a daughter-in-law is always going to be a daughter-in-law even after the son dies, and it's still going to be an isra of kalaso, even though not only did the son die, but she's married to somebody else as well. One might have thought that that even though when a man dies, there's still some sheichus, there's still some connection with his wife, but that connection is totally severed once she marries somebody else, meaning then she becomes that other person. No, still kalasa, there's still something there's still something there. Okay, says the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Actually, before we even get that, when we said Mekalel of the Imo, just to make a quick point over here, Rashi writes, Mekalel of the Imo, Hichmir mi b'make, the reason Mekalel of the Imo is more chumer than Maka of the Imo, which is counterintuitive. You would think if you physically assault a parent, that would be the Chiyuv Skila. But no, we learned before that that's not a Chiyuv Skila. Only Mekalel is a Chiyuv Skila. Why? Mishum di katarti, klon of the Imo, umotzi shem shemayim levatala. Because it's klon of the Imo, and it's humiliating to the parents, and it's also being mekalel means being mekalel b'shem, and being mekalel b'shem involves being motzi shem shemayim levatala. So that's the achronim have a fun time with that Rashi. That Rashi said that's the iser. The iser of mekalel b'shem is that it's shem shemayim levatala. It's not like the separate iser of using the shem as a klala. It's just tam. It's like saying shem Hashem. So it's just two isurim. It's humiliating your parents and motzi shem shemayim levatala. What if you were to be mekalel your parents in a way that's not a violation of Motzi Shem Shemayim Vatala? Chassam Sofer writes in a tshuva that it's not called Motzi Shem Shemayim Vatala when you write down the Shem Hashem, only when you say the Shem Hashem. So if a person's Mekalel of the Imo Biksav, so then it's not going to be more chamer, it's not going to be as chamer as Maka of the Imo. So it's difficult. We have to figure out exactly what Rashi means, that it's dafka because there's also this element of Motzi Shem Shemayim Vatala. Okay, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in lois ima ruya lav venu chayev el mishum ha'im belvad. According to the Brisa's version of Rabbi Yehuda, that the idea that you're only chayev mishum aim and you're not chayev mishum eshes aviv is only if the father and the mother should not be married. So my ein ru'ila, what do we mean they should not be married? Ilei mechayev kris chayev misas based in, if you mean that they're chayev misas based and chayev krisas to each other, mechal the rabbanon sar v'yavakav dein ru'ila, that would make it sound like the rabbanon hold that even if they're chayev misas based and chayev krisas to each other, you're still chayev mishum eshes av. But unless like kiddushin begava, that wouldn't be eshes av. She's not married to him. There's no kiddushin bechayev misas based. It must mean this price. It must mean that Rabbi Yehuda holds that even if the father and mother are just chayav elavin to each other, you're not chayav mishum eshes av. Rabbi Akiva. Why are you not chayav mishmesh tzav? Because Rabbi Yehuda is assuming like Rabbi Akiva, damar in kedushin tovsin, but chayav elavin, who holds that there is no kedushin even by just chayav elavin. There's no kedushin tovsin. Rav Oshia says, is that true? Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold like Rabbi Akiva that there's no tefisas kedushin by chayav elavin? I iser mitzvah iser kedusha choltzos v'lomis yavmos. If the relationship between the yavam and the yavama is what we call an iser mitzvah and iser kedusha, you do chalitza, but you don't do yibum. So iser mitzvah shnios. Iser mitzvah means that there's a shnios, meaning that shnios la arayos, which is shnios midivrei sofrim. V'amai kari lu iser mitzvah. Why do we call them an iser mitzvah if it's shnios la arayos midrabanan? She mitzvah lishma divrei chachamim, because it's a mitzvah lishma divrei chachamim. That's why they're called iser mitzvah. Iser kedusha. What does iser kedusha mean? Alman l'kohen gadol kedusha b'chutz l'kohen hedyot. It means an iser lav. V'amai kari lu hu iser kedusha tichsiv kedoshim yi. Since the pasuk says kedoshim yiyu, so we darshan that it's an iser kedusha. V'tanya Allah, and the Braisa comments on that notion of iser mitzvah and iser kedusha, that Rabbi Yehuda machlif. Rabbi Yehuda says no, we're defining them backwards. That iser mitzvah is about the chayav elavin. Iser kedusha is about shnios la'arayos. Fine, he switches around the definitions. But bottom line is, he says that chayav elavin are subject to yibum in a certain sense, that there's a requirement of chalitza. They can't do yibum, but there's a requirement of chalitza. If there's no tfisas kiddushin whatsoever by chayav elavin, there should be no need for chalitza either. So chilufu yudumachluf ha-chalitza bayi, but he still requires chalitza. V'isal kadaitach Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Akiva sphirle, but if Rabbi Yehuda really held like Rabbi Akiva that there's no tfisas kiddushin by chayav elavin, michli chayav elavin Rabbi Akiva chayav ekrisos tami. Rabbi Akiva's view of chayav elavin is exactly the same as the rest of this view. Chayavei krisos, v'chayavei krisos lav b'nei chalitza v'yibum ninu, and chayavei krisos aren't subject to yibum v'chalitza. There is no chalitza v'chayavei krisos. So why is it that how can we possibly suggest that Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Akiva that chayavei lavin there's no tfisas kedushin, and therefore if your father and mother are chayavei lavin to each other, there's no isra of eshes av when a guy sleeps with his own mother? What do you mean? Rabbi Yehuda says clearly that there's chalitza v'chayavei lavin against Rabbi Akiva. So says Gemara, Lidvar of the Tana Kama, Ka'amar Velelo Sfirulei. No, when he says that you're defining Isser Mitzvah and Isser Kedusha backwards, he's saying, according to you, Tana Kama, your definitions are incorrect. I disagree with the whole premise. I think that there's no need for Chalitza at all by Chayav Elavin. But if you're going to say that there is, at least call the terms the right terms. That's what Rabbi Yehuda means to say. But Eino Chinami, he really holds like Rabbi Akiva that there's no Tfisas Kedushin by Chayav Elavin. Okay, ki as Rabbi Yitzchak Tani kedetnan Rabbi Yehuda Omer Einu Chayev Ela Mishumei Im Bilvad. That Rabbi Yitzchak taught, like it says in our Mishnah, that it's not only when the parents are not roi to each other. Even if the parents have a perfectly kosher marriage, a man who sleeps with his own mother is not only Chayev Mishum Imo, he's also Chayev. I'm sorry, Rabbi Yehuda holds he's only Chayev Mishum Imo and not Mishum Eishes Aviv, even though it's a legal marriage between the parents. He's not Chayev Mishum Eishes Aviv. But for time am I? Why not? So the Gemara is going to have two suggestions. Amar Abayi, suggestion number one, Damar Kra Imchahi, that there's a special drush from the Pasuk. The Pasuk says Imchahi, and we dash from there, Mishum Imo, Atam Chayv, Atam Chayv, Mishum Eshesav. That you're only Chayv Mishum Imo, you're not Chayv Mishum Eshesav. Says Gemara, Elmeata, Ervas Eshes Avicha, Lo Segale, Ervas Avicha Hi, Mishum Eshesav, Atam Chayv, Atam Chayv, Mishum Imo. There's a drush the other way as well. When it teaches us the Isra of Eshesav, it says Eshes Avicha Hi. So by that same token, you should make a drasha that when you're chayv mishum eishes av, there's no chayv mishum imo, only mishum eishes av. Then it would turn out a wild kula. It would turn out that if one sleeps with his mother, who's also his father's wife, he's not chayv at all. Because mishumimo, we learn that you can't be chayv mishum eshesav. Mishum eshesav, we learn that you can't be chayv mishumimo. Hashti imo sheine eshesav mechayv. Eshesav sheine imo mechayv. Imo she eshesav lo mechayv. Klal, it doesn't make any sense. If a guy sleeps with his imo who's not eshesaviv, or eshesaviv who's not imo, that he's going to be chayv for. But if she's both, then he's going to be pater. That's ridiculous. V'sul Rabbanan nami yaksiv imchahi. And also, what would the Rabbanan do with the phrase imchahi? You got to do something with to make a drasha from there. Ella humi bailel Rav Shisha Bre Dravidi. No, Imcha he teaches us what Rav Shisha Bre Dravidi taught. So the Rabbi, which is I don't remember what that drasha was. That we'll get to later. The drasha of Rav Shisha Bre Dravidi. What was that? That Rav Shisha Bre Dravidi darshins on Daf Nun Dalet Imcha Hi is a din skila by Baalimo is whether she's Eishes Aviv or whether she's Anusas Aviv. That when one is Baal his mother, the Chi of skila applies whether she was actually married to his father or she was only Anusas Aviv. That's what I learned from Imcha Hi. Rav Yehuda Nami Omi Baile Rav Shisha Bre Dravidi. So according to Rav Yehuda, we also need to learn Rav Shisha Bre Dravidi's halacha. So the reason Rav Yehuda says you're not Chayiv Mishum Eishes Av, when you sleep with your mother, in our Mishnah, is not based on Imcha Hi. Ella Amar Avacha Bre Dravika Amar Kra Ervasa Mishum Erva Achas Ata Mechay Viata Mechayvo Mishum Shtei Ervas. That it's a separate drasha of the pasuk that it says Ervasa. So we darshin you can only be chayv from one erva, but not Shtei Ervas. Ask the Gemara Ella Meata Ervas Kalaska Loskale Eishes Binchi Loskale Ervasa Hachinami. Are you going to say the same thing when it talks about the daughter-in-law? Mishum Erva Achas Ata Mechayvo. You're only chayv because she's your daughter-in-law. Viata Mechayvo Mishum Shtei Ervas. But you're not going to be chayv Mishum Eishes. The Mishnah says on a daughter-in-law you chayiv for kalaso and eishes ish, and Rabbi Yehuda didn't have anything to say about that. He didn't argue on that. Ella kiven the chad gufi, afalgav the trei surin inu ksiv ervasa. So chenami kiven the chad gufu, afalgav the trei surin inu ksiv ervasa. Don't make any fancy drashas from ervasa. You know why it says ervasa in the singular? Because she's one person. And a chenami, she's two isurim, but she's only one person. That's why he uses the term ervasa. So we're still stuck at this point to try to figure out how Rabbi Yehuda knows, where Rabbi Yehuda gets the idea that when one sleeps with imo shehi eishes aviv, that he's only chayiv for imo. And not for Eishes Aviv. So Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow with Ella Amar Rava, which is going to be the third and final approach.